Hey y'all, it's Alante, and you're listening to Black and in Grad School, the podcast that helps women and people of color like you excel in this journey. If you're listening, I believe you are an aspiring or current scholar who wants to successfully navigate this process. By sharing my experience while pursuing my PhD and interviewing other Black graduate students or early career professionals, it is my hope that you can glean encouragement, advice, and strategies that you can apply to your journey. Thanks for listening. Hey, it's Alante with another episode, and today I'm back. We're talking about money. We're talking about savings, a couple ways to finesse. We're going to say the system. If you are headed to grad school, or if you're going to another year, or even if you're an undergrad, honestly, I've been doing some of these kind of strategies since then, because I've always been trying to keep my costs as low as possible. And, you know, only got so much to spend. So we're going to talk about that. But let's start with our favorite segment. The part that I always start the solo episodes with is Lesson from the Trap. And this week is Megan Thee Stallion's Cash. So, I mean, I feel like it's on the radio all the time. Fever is a very popular album. Megan Thee Stallion's having a hot girl summer. You know, me personally, y'all been having a sleepy girl summer, chill girl summer. Hopefully some of y'all have been having a great hot girl summer. And now that it's about to be a in the books grinding fall, I definitely still am embracing and trying to like live off these last couple moments by listening to her whole album. But in particular, this song I like because she says, "I'm a finesse there and I'm a fly dresser," which has inspired, you know, our title for this episode, because I mean, we about to finesse, okay? We're about to save this money and we're about to be able to put a little bit, maybe more money towards our clothing and or being able to look good on For the Low. And so that's kind of why I felt like it was a perfect day to honor, you know, the Stallion with Lesson from the Trap and how she kind of, it stays relevant, even for us grad students. Okay, I'm a finesse and I'm a fly dresser, all right? So with that, we're going to hit right into this week's topic. I don't really have much of an update because it's this kind of like, you know, slightly dead time before the school year starts. And I've just been quiet, kind of trying to get my things together, get organized for the school year. So honestly, not much has been going on in my world. First, let's talk about today. What I'm going to really be sharing is like some information about how to keep your costs low for your school supplies and also for how you dress and what you're going to be wearing to school. I know like this topic isn't the most important thing in the world, I'd say, but I know right now it is a high time for shopping, right? Even as grad students, we're like, we know this is when you get the pens and all the stuff you like for cheaper because it's school, back to school season. And it's just a kind of a natural time, I felt like, for us to just talk about this because it's time to go back to school. So first with the school supplies, one thing I feel like grad students like love to buy, well, I mean, kind of have to buy slash love to buy is books. Especially my social sciences people, I just feel like y'all buy so many books, like so many books, because you have to read books for your classes. You have to read books, like literal, like, you know, numbers, like bunch of books within a week or something. You know, I mostly read articles. Some of my classes have books. Some of my classes do have books, but I find that on the social sciences side, it just seems like it is like you all are inundated with books to purchase, which is really at some point, even if you're buying, you know, $10, $15 books, but if you're buying to having to read three or four a week and you are purchasing and owning all of these books, I mean, I could imagine that bill can get really high very quickly. So the very first thing I want to tell you to do is check and see if these books are free at your library or available through interlibrary loan. Okay. That's like the first step. I've been doing this since I stepped on campus at North Carolina A&T. I remember I paid for books my very first semester. And like my very first semester, I think my books were like almost $1,000. They were like $700. And I was like, oh no, I won't be doing this again. There has to be something cheaper than this. And so my first stop was at the library. And a lot of times you might be thinking, oh, the book is going to be put on in reserves because, you know, it's a course book. However, sometimes the books can be at sometimes the books can be like another edition. So maybe if you all are reading the 8th edition, get the 7th edition book. That book will not be like put in the reserves where you can't leave the library with it. I did that a lot. Like I would kind of pretty much that was my strategy. Just get the book at the library that's the edition below whatever we're reading. And typically there won't be many changes between the content that are in these two editions. The only thing you need to make sure you do is if the homework comes out of these books, which I would say it doesn't happen as often in grad school as it does in undergrad. But if it does, you know, make sure you make at least one friend that you can check your questions to make sure you're doing the right questions that are in that book. Does that make sense? So making sure that like problem one in the 7th edition isn't actually problem 15 in the 8th edition. So you're actually doing the correct number for your homework assignments. That was pretty much how I got around that. I would like take a picture of the questions, you know, at school and then do it at home. And even better is if you are live in a city that has multiple universities, going to one of your neighboring universities' libraries and seeing if they have your book, your edition for your class over there. I've been fortunate that Illinois, that was the only school there, but they had a lot of books. And I didn't have that many courses with books there, honestly. But here, I can go over to Pitt. And this year, I was able to get my book for one of my classes. Last year, so fall 2018, I was able to get my book for my microeconomics class over at Pitt for the whole semester. Actually, it's not even, I think it's due like now. I got it like last August. And so I'm able to reserve that book using my Carnegie Mellon ID. And I did the same thing at A&T. I can go over to UNCG and see if they had the book and I could use the book there. So that's another way. And of course, checking interlibrary loan. A lot of universities are part of these library systems. They'll send, if your school doesn't have the book, a book within its system probably does, and you can get it sent to your school and you just pick it up and you use it. And most of the time, graduate students are able to borrow books much longer than undergraduate students. So you can probably get the book for 3, 6, 9, 12 months at a time. And obviously if it's even 3 or 6, if it's at least 6 months, it's going to be long enough, probably even 3 months for you to get through the course. So that is like the first finesse. Do not buy books. Do not immediately go buy a book. That's what I'll say. Don't immediately go buy a book. Check and see if it's at your library first before you make that next step to purchase it. And you'd be surprised how much you find. Another school supply item that I feel like I am trying to like encourage and I've shared before is an external monitor on my Instagram. I have an external monitor at my desk. I also have an external monitor at my home, and you might immediately want to go out and purchase like a really expensive monitor because you want it to work well and be nice. You do not need to spend a lot of money on a monitor. I believe I bought a refurbished monitor from Amazon for like maybe $65 for my house. And then the one in my office, want to say we spent less than $100 for that monitor. So first I would ask to see if there's any part of your funding that can go towards office supplies or technical supplies where you can purchase the monitor for your office, and then keep your costs low. A lot of times graduate students who are finishing up their programs, graduating students are giving away or selling their monitors for really cheap. That's a good time to buy them off of them. Or sometimes if the department supplies the monitors and you need an extra one or another one, you can again, take one when the students are leaving and they are going to just give them away anyway. So those are two ways to not purchase a monitor, not spend a lot of money on a monitor. Well, three options, but two kind of different approaches. Okay, and then there are some things that I think are worth investing in as it relates to school supplies. Like, yes, I'm telling you, buy a cheap monitor and don't buy your books unless you apps. Oh, I didn't even say that part. When you're buying, I know in a lot of fields, some people are like, well, I need to have this book because it's really important and it's like a critical book in my field, you know, in XYZ. And I don't want to discredit that fact. All I'm saying is maybe someone says it's a classic that you're supposed to have, but maybe when you read it, you might not feel that way. Or you might feel that way about another book. Why not have the book for free first and then you could just buy it later if you really feel like you need to have it? That's the thing. Like, yeah, okay, if you feel like you need to have it, but you're trying to save money right now, you can make a list and still go back and buy the book. And you can always go back and buy the book, right? The last thing as it relates to school supplies I really want to talk about is almost like pick and choose your investments. And I just kind of made cases for why maybe books and monitors might not be items worth the investment at this time, especially when your funds are limited. But what I will say is I do believe like book bags are a worthwhile investment. And you might be like, what? Like, I don't need like a fancy book bag to handle my business. And I want you to, you know, walk and talk with me for a second, okay? The reason I think that book bags are worth an investment is because I promise you about 80% of the time, my book bag is within reach. I spend a lot of time looking at my book bag or going through it. And I want to make sure that it functions well for my personality, the way that I like to keep things organized, etc. And so I want to kind of offer that to you as a reason for one reason that you should really consider worth the investment, specifically a book bag. Also, you know, depending on how much you carry with you on any given day and the weight of your book bag, the weight of your, excuse me, your laptop or the books you carry, your book bag is actually like going to affect your physical body in some way, right? I feel like sometimes these people who are hunched over or have like bad posture or back issues as a result of their book bag, I mean, I'm sure a lot of other things contribute to it, but the book bag is also contributing to maybe some of those issues. And if we're going to be in these long, you know, programs and we're getting older, right? You know, you're not 19 and 18 where you can buy a little cheap book bag because you're walking across campus. We're getting a little older. I feel like we need to take care of our bodies. And so I think having a good book bag that can carry the load that expresses your personality, however you want that to be, because you spend so much time with your book bag, and something that just is functional for you, to me, just makes like the experience of graduate school just a little bit better, because you have something you like, something that is obviously high utility because you need to use it every day, and also good for you and for your body. And so I personally think that there are some things that you're going to need to spend a little bit of money on, and book bags is like the first thing that I think of. Like I was saying about picking and choosing what you're going to invest in, I also created a list of items and things that I believe are worthwhile of the investment while you're in grad school. And you can check that out on my blog. So that's a perfect transition into style, right? Because I do think that your book bag kind of fits both into school supplies and style and what you're wearing. This is my perspective on clothing. I want to make sure that I look presentable. I'm still true to self in my style. And my clothes make me feel good. And feeling good is comfort, durability, style itself, like aesthetics as well. And so I lean towards things that I believe are going to last a little bit longer. I used to shop like fast fashion, and I do for like my trendier pieces. However, things that I wear to school, I mean, some of them are trendy, but not all. And I would say majority aren't. And I just want items that are going to last me a long time. I don't want to have to spend time having to replace jeans or pants or blazers because they are peeling or they start to look kind of, you know, raggedy and kind of like, excuse me, dingy, which is not indicative of care always, but more so indicative of quality. And so with me wanting to have higher quality items, I have to also, they also come with a higher cost. And so the way that I've circumvented that is by thrifting, shopping on sites like Poshmark and ThredUp, and then at like discount stores like your TJ Maxx, Nordstrom Rack. That's pretty much only places I go. Marshalls, which is just another TJ Maxx. So that is how I like kind of keep my costs really low, is I'll buy name brand items from these stores and from these places at a lower cost, at a fraction of the cost. For example, I was so proud of this like purchase last year. It was, I'm probably annoyed my friends. I live in, you know, pretty much a Midwestern city. And so we have really bad snow and kind of icky weather, which is nothing new to me, but I don't like being cold. And so I found these like UGG boots that I love. They're not like regular UGG boots. They're like weatherproof military boot, but they were like two something last winter. And that was a little strong for me personally, because I'm in grad school. Like, no, I don't want to spend that money. I really want these boots though. Typically, if I want something after like 7 to 14 days, I know I really want it, and I really wanted those boots. And so I went on Poshmark. I was like, it doesn't hurt. Let me see if they have my size. I'm trying to, you know, save a little money. Even if I save, you know, 10-15%, that'll be at least worthwhile, because obviously I'm still thinking about these boots. I really want them. I was able to get those boots for like $140 last year on Poshmark. In my size, they're so comfortable. They're going to last me, I'm sure, if not beyond my PhD, definitely through my PhD. I got the boots for 30% off of the regular cost. And I was really proud of that. And then, like, one of my favorite brands for winter coats, if you're someone who was living somewhere warm, now going somewhere cold. Yes. Well, I've never worn North Face jackets. Let me not say that their jackets aren't good. I've never purchased those. I'm a little bit of a classic, and I buy Lands End coats. They typically can do really well, and I want to say almost negative 10 degrees. And this one coat I found, it was like, it wasn't even that bad. It was like $110, $120 on its website. I found the same coat from 2017. So like they were on 3.0. This was the 2.0 version on Poshmark, new with tags, for $60. So I was able to get my boots and my jacket for the winter for $200 versus what would have been easily almost $350, almost $400 in cost if I would have bought them from the store. So, and again, it's not like I was buying secondhand stuff. I was buying things that were new with the box at a really great price. So that's why I'm like, seriously, give Poshmark a try. Also, I am admittedly bougie on a budget. My favorite perfume right now is Givenchy, Dahlia Divine. The bottle is, I think, $180. I can get it for $50 on Poshmark. Okay. Bottle, eau de parfum, not the toilette. There's a difference. Yeah. So that is why I'm like, seriously, check out Poshmark. It helps me be able to enjoy the higher cost items that I really like for a better cost, for a lower cost. You're getting the point. Okay. And that kind of goes, again, this transitions really smoothly into my next point of, I think it's worthwhile to pick one thing that you enjoy and indulge as it relates to smell goods. Like, I buy my candles from, TJ Maxx and Home Goods, so they're really inexpensive. And so that lets me spend a little bit more money on my body wash and my body butters that I like to wear, because I love this brand called Allura Apothecary that's based out of Detroit, owned by a Black woman. amazing scents, amazing body butter, like smells so good. And I enjoy and I get something from also supporting this brand. And so I'm able to spend a little bit more money on my body wash, on my body butter, because I'm saving it in my clothing and my other luxuries. However, I still am having high quality experiences because I purchase high quality items. So I'm not saying that you have to wear the dollar store deodorant and the dollar store body wash for the sake of saving some money. I think it's worthwhile to pick some things to indulge in, especially when it's reasonable. You know, I mean, what I'm talking about is, instead of buying Dove for $6, I'm spending like $18 on a bottle of body wash, right? So it's not even like some crazy $50, $100 item. Like, it's a little luxury, but it elevates my entire daily experience. And I want you to have something that you can look forward to that's small and simple, but still very nice, like that, for your everyday. Maybe it is candles, maybe it's essential oils, maybe it's a perfume or what have you. But pick something that, again, can elevate your everyday experience. And those are kind of like the things I feel like are most essential for finessing and fly dressing. First, let's cut this cost as it relates to your book purchases. I think that's a great way to save money. If you are under 26, make sure you stay on your parents' health insurance. If you are over 26, get on the payment plan for your health insurance. School supplies, you know, try to save money through bartering or talking to people in your cohort or in your department or in your building who are giving away or getting rid of monitors. And you don't have to buy the most expensive monitor on Amazon. There's some really great monitors under $100. And then making a point to invest in something that you really are going to have for a long time. The thing I pick is a book bag. You might pick something different. Obviously, you're going to invest in your laptop. So I didn't even include that. And then styling, shop at thrift stores, shop at ThredUp and Poshmark, you know, get those new with tag items or, you know, gently used that are really nice quality, but at a better cost so that you can still, you know, maintain nice clothing and high quality items that will last you while you're still on a budget. And lastly, pick one thing you enjoy and indulge in that, just so you can have a really great, you know, everyday experience and something that you might be able to look forward to after some of those crappy days in the office. Okay. So I hope that you enjoyed this episode. I hope it was helpful for you as you're getting ready for the school year to start. Remember, grad school's tough, but you're tougher, and I'll talk to you all next week. Thanks again for listening to this episode of Blacken in Grad School. For more content to help you on your grad school journey, check out blackengradschool.com. That's BLKIN gradschool.com. Love this episode? Head over to Apple Podcasts to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It's very much appreciated. Until next time.